Well, more than 300,000 soldiers will guard polling places in Pakistan tomorrow as voters cast ballots to determine the country's next prime minister. Critics say the military, which has controlled Pakistan for much of its existence, is trying to manipulate the results, but more than 150 people have already been killed in election-related attacks. Joining us now is Michael Kugelman, Deputy Director of the Asia Program at the Wilson Center. Michael, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be back with you.
And what's at stake in this election?
Well, there's a lot at stake. We're looking at two major political parties. One, the incumbent Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz Party, which has suffered all kinds of problems over the last few months, from corruption convictions to all types of efforts to sideline it. And it's looking to prove that it's still alive and kicking. And then you have the other major party, the PTI party of the former cricketer turned politician Imran Khan, that has a chance for the first time to actually hold national power. This is its big opportunity yet. So there really is a lot at stake for the two main contenders in this election.
And Khan seems to have the support of the military in Pakistan.
Yeah, and of course that Khan and the military will say no, not at all. But I think it's quite clear that you know, the Pakistani military, which is the most powerful political player in Pakistan, really has a lot of concerns about the idea of the PMLN party returning to power, simply because the military and the PMLN party, which again led the most recent government, simply did not get along on a lot of levels. And I think that the military sees the PTI and Khan as really the best possible outcome in terms of who should be leading the next government.
What difference does this election make to the United States?
You know, it's a good question, because I think that there are certainly plenty of folks here in Washington, including those in government, that are quietly hoping that the next government does not include or does not involve the PTI and Imran Khan, simply because Imran Khan has repeatedly issued extremely shrill and strident anti-American rhetoric, even by Pakistani standards. You know, he's threatened to shoot down American drones if he were to take power. And so I think that there is a bit of concern about that here. Though then again, you know, relations, you know, Pakistan's relations with the U.S., this has always been the purview of the military. It tends to call the shots on that type of thing. So I think one of the big questions will be whether Imran Khan, who is known for being very proud and stubborn and not necessarily willing to defer to higher authorities, if he will indeed defer to the military when it comes to issues of policy toward the U.S. and the military in Pakistan, actually does want to continue to have a workable relationship with the United States. But the question is what the dynamic will be between Imran Khan, or what the dynamic would be between Imran Khan and the military if he were to be in that prime minister's position.
And one of the most important aspects, I would imagine, of that workable relationship between the Pakistani military and the United States would be the war in Afghanistan.
Absolutely. And, you know, my own view here is that the U.S. is going to continue to struggle to get along with Pakistan and continue to struggle to get Pakistan to help the United States in Afghanistan. And that will be the case regardless of what the next government looks like. When it comes to, you know, what Pakistan does in the context of the war in Afghanistan, this is the ambit of the military. This is the purview of the military. And you know, the military for quite some time in Pakistan has, for reasons of its own, decided that it is not going to essentially go after these terrorists on Pakistani soil that threaten Americans fighting the war in Afghanistan. I don't see that policy changing. I don't see that calculus changing anytime soon. And again, it doesn't matter what the civilian leadership looks like in Pakistan with this next election. I do think the U.S. and Pakistan will struggle to continue, or they'll continue to struggle to get along, just because the army will remain that obstacle in that context.
And while we have you, let me just ask you about what's going on in Afghanistan. The war there has been going on for 17 years now. There is talk about direct negotiations with the Taliban. Do you think that's a good idea?
I do think it's a good idea. I think that it makes good sense, simply because it's clear that this war in Afghanistan cannot be won militarily. You know, at one point we had more than 100,000 American troops on the ground. That did not turn the tide of the war, and now we only have about 15,000. And the Taliban has said that it would only be willing to stop fighting the war if it can talk directly with the United States. And for a long time, the U.S. had refused. Now the fact that it's beginning to relent, I think, is a sign of a more flexible position on the part of Washington, which is good. But at the end of the day, do we really believe the Taliban when it says that it would stop fighting if it can talk to the U.S.? I simply, given how well it's doing on the battlefield, given how well it's performing, I think it has more of an incentive to keep fighting than to stop and start talking.
It's Michael Kugelman, who is Deputy Director of the Asia Program at the Wilson Center, as we wait for the Pakistani elections tomorrow. Michael, thank you.
Thank you.